Blog Talk Radio.
I hate you both. I've hated you ever since I can remember. I hate you, and I wish you both had cancer.
Cancer?
Yes, in the head.
I'm as tired as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
People seem to like me because I am polite and I'm rarely late.
And now the host of the Stupid Cancer Show, Matthew Zachary.
Monday, May 11th, and we're once again live on the Stupid Cancer Show, the voice of young adults with cancer. We are your friendly neighborhood weekly social webcast. Finally giving that voice to nearly 5 million young adults affected by cancer. This broadcast is a program of the I'm Too Young for This Cancer Foundation, a national leader in the fight against cancer, working exclusively on behalf of survivors and their care providers under the age of 40. Got cancer under 40? Sucks, huh? Well, get busy living because the Stupid Cancer Show is on the air. Welcome to tonight's broadcast, my friends. We are here to change the world, one chemo infusion at a time, and share all of our collective crapness. Now, call me a hippie, but do not call me a victim, because I don't believe that change is possible if you never disrupt and challenge the status quo. I am still here, you are still here, and this is why we fight. Forget the cure, folks. That's right, you heard it here first. Forget the cure. Survivorship is all that matters. So welcome, my friends, to the Stupid Cancer Movement, because we're here to stay and the couch is comfy. Here in Stupid Cancer Land, we're not just about the quantity of your life, we're about the quality, too. Why? Because there's more to the cure than just research. The need to cure cancer for Gen X and Gen Y, whatever that means, is only going to come from within our own ranks. Are we on our own? Well, I say that if we're the generation that invented Google and Facebook, Second Life, we kept Sanjaya on American Idol all those weeks, we should be able to take care of our own. This is Generation Cancer, and it's our fight. We have the sheer numbers, the voting power, and the influence to change the rules, because remission is not an excuse for a cure, and survivorship is all that matters. Alrighty, last week's show, actually 2 weeks ago, show April 27th, was our pre-OMG Summit Buzz Nation with Bare Naked Lady Kevin Hearn, founder and CEO of Fertile Hope, Lindsay Norbeck, and Young Adult Program Director at Cancer Care, Julie Larson. Tonight's show is our Calgon Take Me Away Retreats for Young Adults with singer-songwriter Charlie Lustman, writer-producer of Made Me Nuclear, Brad Ludden, the founder of First Descent, and, I didn't update his name. Jennifer Benton, who is one of the original members and founders of the Camp Make a Dream organization up in Montana. Good stuff. So hello, my friends, and welcome to yet another fun-filled and exciting romp through the hay on tonight's Stupid Cancer Show, and a Stupid Cancer welcome to all of our first-time listeners here on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Thank you for joining us. Coming at you live from the Chemo Deck, our fabulous studio in downtown Manhattan, I'm your host, Matthew Zachary, a 13-year pediatric brain cancer survivor. Joining me live in the studio tonight, as always, our chief cancer anarchist, Jack Bouffard. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Matthew. How are you?
I'm well. Jack will be monitoring our live, concurrent, interactive chat room. So if you have something to say, while I might ignore you, he won't. But feel free to ignore him, as most people do, especially the ladies.
Yeah, that's getting really old, too.
It is getting old, but it continues to be respectably true.
I guess I can't deny the truth, huh?
The truth shall set you free, my friend. Anyway, as always, it is my esteemed pleasure to welcome my official partner here in crime on the Stupid Cancer Show, hailing from the Windy City of Chicago. fellow young adult survivor and author of the acclaimed book Everything Changes, The Insider's Guide to Cancer in Your 20s and 30s, the lovely, talented, blogtastic, and spectacular Carol Rosenthal.
Hello, Matthew.
Hello, Carol. We are welcoming an amazing live studio audience tonight here in the chemo deck. I2Wires from New York City, Lisa Wolf and Annabelle Holland are with us. Want to shout out, ladies?
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Oh, that was lame. Okay. Woo! All right. For those of you that don't believe Jack LaFord is a human being, he is, and he has five siblings, the youngest of whom is joining us tonight. Please welcome to the Stupid Cancer Show, Margaret Bouffard.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Margaret.
All right, that was less lame.
Margaret's talking to me, at least.
Okay. Yeah, at least, yeah, there's a lady that'll listen to you, right?
Yeah.
Maybe. And, of course, our guest du jour is my friend Stacey Owens, who is video recording this for us tonight. No, the camera doesn't speak into the mic, Jack.
Holler.
There we go.
I wasn't looking at the camera.
I know you weren't. Yeah, Stacey's pretty hot, isn't she?
Yes.
I met Stacey Owens on the set of Lifetime Television when I worked with them in the summer of 2007. She's a thyroid cancer survivor, was a production assistant, and we hit it off. She totally started drinking our punch and has become one of our vigilant advocates in the L.A. area. She's in New York on business. Woo-hoo. And decided to stop by the studio. So welcome, Stacey Owens.
Welcome, Stacey Owens.
All righty. So anyway, Carol, Jack, we have a lot to talk about before we bring out our guests. So much has gone on in the last 2 weeks. Primarily the very reason we were off last week was because of the second annual OMG Cancer Summit in New York. Jack, you want to talk about that a little bit?
It was an amazing event. Everything came together so well. We were at capacity. The breakout sessions were phenomenal. Kevin was phenomenal. Our keynote was phenomenal. And the concert was beyond phenomenal. It was just awesome. I'm still reeling from it. The week later, I'm still on a high from it.
I couldn't be more happy with the conference itself. That's why. Because it's the perfect time of year. They summed it up. I mean, having the Bare Naked Ladies there, I think, really upped the stakes. Up the book came down to was like 200 people came and left like they were just like they were just I'll mention that, but like that they left like they just saw a Rocky movie.
Yeah,
they left completely empowered.
They saw Rocky Impersonator at the end, but
yeah they did. But Ed Robertson, who's the lead singer for the band, said something very profound to the audience. He said it's great, always great to perform for a nice crowd, but it's even better to perform for a crowd that's just glad to be here.
Exactly. And that hit everybody.
Yeah.
And it hit them, too.
Yeah. Kevin, of course, is a 10-year survivor of chronic myelogenous leukemia, one of the founders of the band, and he, just extraordinary. He read from a journal that he wrote when he was sick that he'd never read from before.
Yeah.
Some amazing poems, very deep, very profound. He performed songs solo on the piano that he'd never performed in public before. Truly amazing. Just from an experiential perspective, one of the best days of my life, and as I said to the audience, I hoped it was one of the best days of their life. So anyone who missed it, don't feel too bad, because for 2010, we're planning something even bigger, and it's going to be even better. So
bigger and better.
Bigger and better for next year. And if you don't live in New York, don't worry. We're going to make it possible. We're going to try to make it possible to ensure that anyone who wants to come to the event next year will be at the event next year.
Exactly. It was great. It was phenomenal all around. And the volunteers were great, of our workers, and it was just amazing.
All good stuff. Carol, what's going on with you out there?
Well, let's see. I have finally finished, perfected, and going to go record in the studio tomorrow an essay that I wrote about the right to health insurance.
Pinch me. That was appropriate. Pinch me, the right to health insurance.
Right to
over.
Health insurance. Yeah, I have to say, you know, it was my pivotal, God, do I just want to strangle politicians moment in the campaign, the presidential campaign last year, when, you know, they have these little town hall meetings, and they have these, you know, pre-screened, pre-asked questions, and they're usually just, you know, whatever. But I thought that it was actually a really brilliant question when somebody said, do you believe that patients have the right to health care? And thank you, President Obama said yes, and now we've got to see what he's actually going to do about that. But, you know, it really is a basic human right that isn't delivered to those of us in the United States, and I think we got to talk more about that.
I couldn't agree more, and I think what you're tackling is something that is always the elephant in the room. It's always, like, the scariest reality of this whole issue is how do you really affect change legislatively in D.C.? I congratulate you. It's a hill, pun intended, that I have always been wary of trying to climb, and I think it's extraordinary what you're doing.
Well, you know, I think as much as we want to laugh in the face of the American Cancer Society, I really do think that their CEO hit it right on the head when last couple of years ago he said, you know, if we want to reduce the number of mortalities in this country due to cancer, we don't just have to fight for the cure. We need to fight for access to health care, because he said we could reduce mortality rates by 50% if people had access to the cures that are already out there. So I've said it a million times, but I'll say it again. It is so important that we're fundraising. It's so important that we're walking and riding our bikes and yellow braceleting. And along with that, we've got to stand up and get access to health care.
Well said.
Yeah, well said, Carol. And actually, the day after OMG, I headed down to D.C., and I was working with our friends at Children's Cause for Cancer Advocacy in lobbying congressmen to allocate more funding toward children's insurance, so basically covering children who don't have sufficient coverage. And obviously, it was all cancer-related, and it was pretty amazing to, you know, be on the Hill and talking to these congressmen and showing them the bill and saying, you know, we need to fund more you know, give more money to children's cancer insurance and coverage and stuff. And, you know, you would think that these guys would just jump at it, but, you know, you really have to lobby for their support.
Carol, let me ask you a question about this, and this is just sort of a layperson's question. I've intentionally steered clear of even trying to understand legislation and access to quality care and all the stuff that, like, the National Coalition for Cancer Survivorship has been doing for 20 years, in the sense that it's just so confounding and it's not really tangible. But is it possible that there's a simple answer to this question? Why isn't there universal access to health care in this country?
Well, I think the simple access is that we have a model where it's a profit-based model. Our health care and wellness is tied to profit. And I think that when you have that model, sick people will never win. And, I might sound like some total radical, radical liberal or something, which I'm sure I probably am. But I do think that as long as we're working in this equation where we are trying to figure out how we can profit from people's physical well-being, that I don't know that there really is a very good solution. I don't know, because you're always going to have the equation where people like us and most of the people who are listening to this show who are sick, we are the folks who are bringing everyone else down financially when you're talking about insurance pools. And so I think that there's just a fundamental flaw in the system. And until that gets changed, all we can work with are these little incremental shifts where, you know, we try to make small regulatory changes to insurance companies so that maybe we can't get denied because of pre-existing conditions, or they can't kick us off of our plan if we're in college and have to go into the hospital for chemo. And it's important to do those things. It's sort of all that we have now. But I just kind of want everybody to listen to the news these days with a big skeptical question mark in their head, because the big news today was, pharmaceutical companies and hospitals and, you know, the big for-profit players in this game have said that they want to sit down at the table with President Obama and talk about this fundamental reform in health care. And I personally think it's kind of a charade. I think that people who are really sick are not going to benefit, and that we're also not the people who are at the table, you know? And I had a fantastic conversation today with this excellent blogger, Duncan Cross.
Yes.
You should check out his blog. And he brought up this really interesting issue. He said, you know, whenever we talk about healthcare reform, you've doctors, you've got lobbyists for all these companies, and you have, you know, all these governmental agencies that are at the table. But when do we actually have patients at the table? You know, that we talk about the average American and what their needs are. But you know what? You and I are actually not the average American. We're sick cancer patients.
Yeah.
And we need to make sure our voices are represented. And they're really not, especially young adults' voices, because if there's work being done in the cancer community, it's most often to benefit people 65 and older for their Medicare. So I just want to say again, so important for us to at least just start educating ourselves about these issues. And, you know, Matthew, you said is a layperson's opinion. I'm a layperson too. I mean, I have no background in political science. I know nothing about this stuff except that I'm a fed-up cancer patient, and I don't think that I have the right to bitch and complain anymore until I educate myself and try to do something about it. So dive in. Just start reading articles about healthcare and about policy. And, you know, some of the stuff I read is really confusing and over my head too, but the more I read, the more I begin to understand, and I just feel like it's my responsibility.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, but I'll give you more credit than you're giving yourself. You are way past the layperson stage because you are fully literate in terms of, you know, like the process or how you've done the legwork to get beyond just being a layperson. And it's an enviable place to be, at least from my position, because you have an objectivity as to the politics of the situation that almost puts you in a thought leader position of influence where you can do what we're doing, create more use, and ultimately maybe that might push. It's almost Sisyphusian in a way, where you just keep trying to push the boulder up the hill, and you're never going to quite get there.
Can you say that word again? Can you say that word again? I love it.
Sisyphusian?
I love that word. Thank you for using it.
Huh?
Sisyphus was a Greek. Sisyphus is a Greek. Was he a god or was he just like a jerk?
I think he was a schmo with a boulder, you know?
Yeah, he did something bad, and the gods punished him. He had to push a boulder up a hill. But every time he got like right to the top of the hill, the boulder like fell back down. He could never quite get the boulder to the top of the hill. And it was like this eternal curse that he was damned to do, Sisyphus.
That's a
it's
nice
the ultimate
boulder.
Allegory of the uphill battle.
The uphill battle, exactly. So.
Yeah, well, you know, I just want to say that any bit of education I happen to have or seem like I have about healthcare issues and policy, it's all self-taught. You know, this is all stuff that I've just taught myself, and anybody else can join me as well.
Well, let's get to Jack. I wanted to talk really briefly about going to the Association of Oncology Social Workers conference and exhibiting with Johnny Immerman from Immerman Angels, and then we'll get into the news.
Yeah, it was great, Matt. I was there in Savannah, Georgia, at their annual conference, and you know, hundreds of social workers, oncology social workers, and Johnny and I shared the exhibiting table together. So he was promoting Immerman's Angels, and I was promoting I'm Too Young for This, and it was great. It was great to reach another audience that has, you know, one-on-one contact with cancer patients, and we got a lot of good feedback. Our booth was constantly busy the entire, 3 days we were there, and it was just a phenomenal experience. And we got so many cancer centers that were already aware of us that just want us to send them more of our stuff. And there was a lot of social workers from different parts of the country and Canada, and one from South Africa that were like, you know, send us your stuff because it's absolutely needed. And it was just a great 3 days for Immerman's Angels, and I'm Too Young for This.
Well, congratulations. We continue to need to have that type of influence and that presence in that population. It's the fundamental reason why I started I'm Too Young for This was because so many young adults were not made aware of the resources that are available to them, and they trust their providers most. They trust their social workers, their navigators, their oncology nurses. And if they don't have the resources, then they just feel even more isolated. So
exactly.
Congratulations, you're doing a great job. And now let's get to the news.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Cancer.
Just the facts, ma'am.
Alrighty, during this part of the Stupid Cancer Show, we announce worthy news stories to our adoring listeners to inform them about the latest and greatest in young adult programs, services, events, projects, and other stuff. If you have an upcoming program, event, or press release that you would like to hear broadcast during this segment, please fax it to us at 646-861-2565, 646-861-2565, or send an email to Jack Bafford at jack@i2y.com. That's jack@i2y.com. Take it away, Jack.
Thank you, Matthew. First up, we have this Wednesday, May 13th, our very own Catherine Tormina, a.k.a. Rockstar Sissy, is performing at Wicked Willie's, 149 Bleecker Street in New York City. For more information, check out myspace.com/rockstarsissy.
Speaking of sissies, Matthew, did you know that I'm going to Can't Make a Dream this week?
What?
Oh, you know what? That sounds really bad, doesn't it? But I am going to Can't Make a Dream this week.
You're taking a leak over all of Montana?
I am.
Okay.
No, a week in Montana, not a week in Montana.
Fabulous.
Well, I can't guarantee that won't happen. But anyway, I will be at the Young Adult Survivor Conference this week. It's Wednesday through Monday. And upcoming Can't Make a Dream retreats, which we will be talking about later in the show, we have June 18th through the 25th is the Young Adult Conference. July 1st through the 8th, we have our teen camp, which is ages 15 to 18. July 12th through the 19th, Can't Make a Dream is offering their kids camp for children ages 6 to 14, and it breaks my heart that they even have to offer a camp for 6 to 14-year-olds. July 23rd to the 30th, we have siblings camp. Oh, Margaret, you want to go to camp? No, you don't. Okay. And in August, there's the Heads Up Conference. So for more information about all of Can't Make a Dream's fabulous weeks in Montana, you can go to campdream.org, and we will be discussing Can't Make a Dream further, or later in the show, I should say. Attention New York City, Thursday, June 4th, Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center is presenting their Young Adults New Challenges, New Beginnings, Life After Cancer workshop. This workshop is focused on living beyond cancer, and for more information and to register, call area code 212-717-3527. Appearing in Washington, D.C. for one night only, Jonna's Body, Please Hold, a cancerous dark comedy starring the amazing Jonna Tomasis?
Jonna Tomasis.
Tomasis. Thank you, Matthew. Jonna is a three-time cancer survivor who turned her experience into a funny, uplifting performance you must see. This event is free to all young adult survivors. Matthew and I are going, and to RSVP for this, please contact Kelly Alfaro at kelly.alfaro, that's A-L-F-A-R-O, at lls.org, or you can call Kelly at area code 703-399-2936. Cancer really sucks, huh? I don't think we need to be told that, but cancer really sucks. Online chat for teens. Are you or a friend struggling with cancer diagnosis in the family? Here is your chance to ask questions or just chat with someone willing to help. On Wednesday, May 27th, from 8 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, chat with Matthew Zachary. You can chat with Matthew at the Cancer Really Sucks Forum by logging on to www.cancerreallysucks.org. Breast Cancer Recovery is proud to present their 2009 Infinite Boundaries Retreat, May 28th through May 31st in Eagle River, Wisconsin. Please refer to bcrecovery.org for more information, or you can reach Breast Cancer Recovery at 888-821-1140. Drumstrong 09 is May 16th and 17th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Drum for Cures produces the annual Cancer Resources event, Drumstrong, raising awareness, funds for cancer education and research, while supporting survivorship through rhythm. Drumstrong is setting up a Team I2Y, and all funds raised by Team I2Y will benefit I2Y. To register or make a donation, please visit drumstrong.org. Seattle, Washington, are you looking for a support group to partake in? Well, put down your lattes and pay attention, because the Leukemia Lymphoma Society is here to help. The Young Adult Support Group will meet on the third Monday of the month for the next 4 months. To register for this free group, log on to lls.org/WA. Everything Changes, The Insider's Guide to Cancer in Your 20s and 30s. It's a newly released book written by our very own Stupid Cancer co-host, Carol Rosenthal. Everything Changes dusts the sugarcoating off of the young adult cancer experience. It is packed with gripping stories and an unprecedented collection of young adult cancer resources. Everything Changes is available wherever books are sold, and you can visit the book's website, everythingchangesbook.com. Next up, we have 70k.org. That's the word 70, the letter K.org. There are approximately 70,000 people aged 15 to 39 diagnosed with cancer every year. For over two decades, there's been little or no improvement in survival for this age group. By signing this bill, you are supporting the Adolescent and Young Adult Cancer Bill of Rights to be established as a standard for care to meet the needs of this underserved population. Moving on to cancer care programs. The young adult groups that are active and running at Cancer Care are as follows: Living with Cancer, Inactive Treatment, Life After Cancer, Post-Treatment, Young Adults Loss of a Parent, Young Women with Breast Cancer, Young Adult Individual Grief Counseling, Young Adult Caregiver, for all diagnoses and relationships. Contact our friend Julie Larson at jlarson@cancercare.org, or you can reach Julie by phone at area code 212 712-6173. Next up, and there's no pun intended, we have Live On, Sperm Banking by Mail for Cancer Patients. Don't do what I did, guys. Mailing sperm without a Live-On kit is frowned on by our federal government. For more information on Sperm Banking by Mail, please go to www.liveonkit.com. Live Sperm Banking by Mail is made possible by our great friends at Fertile Hope, and I would like to send a big thank you to the law firm of Dewey, Scroom & Howe for clearing up my embarrassing situation with the United States Postal Service. And finally, we have a Stupid Cancer Happy Hour next Wednesday, May 20th, from 5 to 7 at the Fieldhouse Sports Bar in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Head on over to events.i2y.org, and you can partake in that Philadelphia Happy Hour. And finally, Matt, on a personal note, I want to wish two people some luck. My friend Andy out in Ohio was just diagnosed with testicular cancer, and he started his first treatment last week. He's a total rock star. He's totally going to beat stupid cancer, and I was lucky enough to see him over the weekend. We hung out, gave him some stupid cancer stuff, and he's totally going to beat it. He just needs some support, but he's well on his way. And also a friend in Connecticut, a girl named Karen, she's just starting treatment for Hodgkin's lymphoma. And Karen, if you're listening, my prayers and thoughts are with you and your husband, and you will survive over stupid cancer. And that, my friends, is the stupid cancer news.
This is like turning into Cancer Romper Room.
Yeah, exactly.
And Marsha and Scott and Tina and Joe.
And it's, you know what, though? There's just too many names on the list.
There are too many names on the list, but they're going to start getting jealous if we keep picking them out. We're going to get, like, all this crazy angry fan mail. Where's my name? Like, you know, in, the 9 years I watched Romper Room, they never said Matthew.
No?
I'm not bitter. It's okay.
You watched Romper Room for 9 years?
Kindergarten? I walked right into that. All right, let's see here. All right. My first two guests are a pair of hams. But I love them. They're very talented. Oh, God, all right. Charlie and Bob. Bob's like an inventor. But he's a brilliant guy. He manages Charlie Lussman, who's a young adult survivor of cancer, musician, singer, songwriter, author, playwright, brilliant duo. Please welcome them to the Stupid Cancer Show, Bob Gray and Charlie Lussman.
Hello, hello.
Gentlemen,
welcome, welcome.
I didn't have official bios for you, so I kind of made that up ad lib.
That was pretty good.
Very official to me.
Yeah, all right.
Great.
How you guys doing out in L.A. there?
We're doing fabulously well. We're coming up on our 78th performance of Made Me Nuclear, our pop operetta about surviving life's greatest challenges. So we're feeling very accomplished right now.
Which I would mention I have seen, I was in the audience of, and I think was exceptionally brilliant.
Thank you. You were there opening weekend.
Yes, I was.
Wow.
No pressure, right?
It is. It's transformed. It's definitely transformed since then, just because as the audiences came in and people gave us feedback, hey, why didn't you talk about this part of the cancer experience? I'm like, whoa, yeah, right. Okay. So we wrote another song and added it to the opera.
There you go.
Little interactive, you know, thing there. So it's really been opening up and progressing into kind of a bigger piece, but we're planning to really go back to the roots of the reason why I wrote this opera in the first place was to take it really directly to the people going through the most difficult life challenges. And we're getting ready for a 30-city tour across America playing cancer centers.
What's your 30-second stupid cancer story?
My 30-second stupid cancer story? You mean like the most ridiculous thing that happened to me?
Well, I mean, what were you diagnosed with? How old were you, and how retarded was it?
Oh, okay. I was 42. I was diagnosed with osteosarcoma of the upper maxillary, which is bone cancer in my upper jaw. And what was the other question?
How retarded was the experience for you?
Very retarded. I mean, it was almost barbaric. Just the whole thing seemed like really barbarism going back in the Stone Ages.
Right.
That there wasn't like, here you go, here's a pill, here's the cure.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like, what? You don't know what this is? I fall under 1% of all cancers on the planet. I'm 1 in 400 million people who get that in your jawbone? And you can't tell me anything about this?
Yeah, but look on the bright side, it's a resume builder.
hey, man, I wouldn't have a pop opera if it didn't happen to me.
That is true. That
now,
is true.
Now, everything, you know what, it's everything happens for a retarded reason, so
yes.
To put it that way. And I really had to get that big, huge silver sledgehammer over my head in my life for what I was doing prior to diagnosis to realize that life is such an amazing thing and enjoy every single solitary second of it. And, you know, a nervous breakdown wouldn't have been enough for me. Some people say, hey, just give me one good nervous breakdown. But I needed to go through that experience. And it did make me, like they say, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you a stronger person. It's made me a better person.
And that's self-evident in just meeting you and listening to your music and watching the show. But when did you start playing guitar or singing and all that?
Well, that goes back to high school. I mean, I got kicked out of high school. I got kicked out of boarding schools because all I wanted to do was play guitar.
I like this
piano.
Guy.
Piano. You know, I didn't go with the program. They didn't know that that was my career and I was practicing. You know?
Nice.
So I eventually did finally get to do what I wanted to do once, you know, no schools would take me in. But I really started at a young age and knew that I wanted to write songs about how I felt. They were just usually rebellious or love songs and so forth for 20 years after that until, of course, something like this happens to you and you realize, wow, this is why I've been writing music and developing my skill to take this experience and put it into the music and turn around and help everybody else who's going through this thing with the power of music and song.
So would you say that the arc of your creative juices changed after you were diagnosed, or were you writing this sort of poke-a-stick-at-it type of music, these very allegorical types of stories through your music beforehand as well?
Well, I did have idealistic visions of taking music, taking you through a journey in my music. It wasn't really one-offs. Most of my career, I had a vision for storylines, and especially listening like to Sgt. Pepper, or, you know, different albums that kind of took you on a kind of journey. Those were my favorite records. So I kind of had that installed into my work, but nothing even close to something like Made Me Nuclear that literally starts with the phone call and takes you through getting scanned and then finding a doctor and then being afraid to die. And then the surgeries, and then your chemo, and then your radiation, and then your, you know, how crazy it all is, and then the recovery, and then, oh, my God, what do I do now? I've survived. And then, oh, my God, life is amazing. You know, let's live like you've never lived before. And then thank you at the end. So you really, I mean, I've never written anything almost literally through from each step along the way. And what better way to start than in this one, in this story?
Well, we want to cut away to the track, the title track of your album called Made Me Nuclear, which I thought was just hysterical from the minute I didn't even have to listen to the song. I knew it was going to be fabulous. This notion of, you know, they're zapping you with gamma radiation and you're going to turn into the Hulk and pick up paper clips and all that.
Yeah.
And it's hysterical and it's not true, but it's always fun to think it is. And I think you summed it up. You wrote about what everyone was thinking. It's what was in our heads. So we're going to play the title track and then close out the segment. But I want to just tie in the fact that, you know, we have you on the show because you are performing live next Tuesday night at Molly Malone's in Los Angeles as part of our Cancerpalooza Artist Showcase event. And anyone listening interested in coming is welcome to. The website is cancerpalooza.org. Charlie will be joined by four other extremely talented young adult musician survivors, and it's going to be an amazing night. So thank you for donating your time to us, and I'm really, really excited to see you perform again.
It's my pleasure. We're going to rock hard in L.A. and send a message out there into the air. People
All
are
right.
going to start to feel a lot better.
All right. This is Made Me Nuclear, and then we'll come back to you and Bob.
Thanks, Matthew.
Come on into town, she said. Have you ever seen this bed? Well, no, it's really strange. It looks like a space age dream. Well, don't be scared, it won't take long. And we can play our favorite songs. Just relax and close your eyes. It sounded like a machine gun, and it wasn't even close to fun. Had my arms above my head like they arrested me.
And now it's time to take some more. Doctors need more to explore. Come this way inside my room. And they shot me, made me nuclear. And they told me it would make me glow. Yes, they proudly radiated me, 'cause they wanna see right through my bones. Whoa. Just like a psycho ward, underneath the hospital, like a bomb shelter. And there I was in a movie scene, right in front of a time machine. H.G. Wells would sure be proud, 'cause they shot me, made me nuclear. And they told me it would make me glow. Yes, they proudly radiated me, wanna see right through my bones. Whoa, 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 my bones. And when they looked at the photograph of the alien, following me. And so they sent me back to go back into my civil clothes. And they told me, stay away from your lovely wife. Yes, they put me through the scans. No, I'm a subatomic man. I'm a human mobile phone. Oh, 'cause they shot me, made me nuclear. And they told me it would make me glow. Yes, they proudly radiated me, 'cause they wanna see right through my bones. Promised me when I got home, there wouldn't feel a thing they stand, but I could light a light bulb in my hand.
Charlie Lussman. Great song. You should see the feedback in the chat room. Everyone loves the song. I don't quite know why, because it's so terrible, but everyone loves the song.
Thank you. Thank you. No, you know, when she came in to give me this radiated fluid before they scanned me through the machine,
right,
she was wearing this like entire huge metal suit. And I'm like, don't I get one of those suits to wear? And
right,
she starts laughing as she comes at me like, you know, Frankenstein's doctor. It was trippy, man.
Well, in any case, tell everyone your website and where they can learn more, and the first of many times we will have you on the show for sure.
I love to be on the show, especially when we come to the East Coast. We want to be in studio, baby.
You're
anytime.
Anytime in studio, man.
Cool.
Anytime.
Yeah, we are at mademenuclear.com. Some people say make me nuclear. I'm like, you don't want to be made nuclear, but it's past tense. Mademenuclear.com, and it'll have all the tour information starting in June. We're going to be listing the 30 cities and the cancer centers. We'll be at some of the big cancer events in the country over the next 10 months. And we'll be landing back in L.A. on June 1st, 2010 for a big Survivor's Day concert. That's our big vision, to have this huge Survivor's Day concert on June 1st, 2010, which will mark the first stage of a three-level around-the-world trip that we're taking to spread some hope and healing through music through Made Me Nuclear.
You know, it's just a shame you're such a lazy slacker.
Yeah, you know, I've been accused of being a beatnik kind of guy.
Yeah.
But
the LA
mentality.
This is really
lit a fire under my, and I am just raring to go and share this. That's why I got to stay on the planet. You know, I was with people who had children as well, and they're not on the planet anymore. And so I think to myself, why do I get the gift of watching my kids grow up? why me? Why do I get that? And it's made me nuclear. So I have to do this. It's like a deal I made, you know.
Well, congratulations to you guys, and thanks for being on the show. We'll see you next
week. Thanks for having us, Matthew.
All right, Bob Gray and Charlie Lessman, everybody. All right, who's next? Brad?
Brad's
next. All right, let's cue up some better. You know what? We're going to cue this up for Brad because this is a good segue music for Brad. All right. My first guest tonight was raised by wolves and lives and plays in the northern Rocky Mountains. Commonly known as one of the best professional kayakers in the world, he's traveled over 40 countries as Nike's first sponsored kayak athlete and can be seen gracing the cover of magazines such as Outside, Men's Health, Men's Journal. The founder of First Descent, one of my all-time favorite young adult organizations, and Cosmo's Man of the Year 2008.
Excuse me?
Please welcome to the show the one and only Brad Ludden, returning champion.
I'm going to take that one to my grave.
Yeah, you are.
I deserve it. Hey, thanks for having me on, you guys. Always, always a pleasure.
Oh, it's good to have you here. Good to have you here. Well, I'm going to turn the mic over to Carol and Jack, and you have fun.
You got it.
Hey, Brad.
How you doing?
Good, good. Great to have you on the show. You know, your organization is amazing. When I was doing research for my book, I was writing a section called Get Out of Town. And just the sort of where you go, what you do when you need to get the hell out of town because you have cancer and you need a retreat. And when I traveled around the country talking to young adults, that was something that came up over and over and over again. People said, when I'm done with treatment, I just need to get out of town. It was like this, it was almost like this barbaric innate urge to just to go somewhere and get away from everything. So tell us a little bit about what actually happens on First Descent retreats.
Well, that's first things first, we get them out of town. This summer we're going to be in 6 states, 9 weeks of programming, and really, and when I say in 6 states, I should say in some of the most beautiful places in the country, not necessarily 6 states. One of the cornerstones of what makes our foundation successful is that we go to these really incredible parts of these states, national parks, and, you know, remote rivers. And so it's really an opportunity for people to get out, get away from their life. And so we do these free week-long kayak adventures or outdoor challenges and use those as sort of this adventure therapy model, this free adventure therapy for these young adults with cancer in these really beautiful remote places. So you completely remove yourself from your everyday life, and you have an opportunity to challenge yourself in the outdoors, and through that challenge kind of begin an emotional healing process among a new group of peers.
Well, you know, I'm so curious because I hear a lot of people say that, you know, once they got cancer, they lived life fuller and bigger and took more risks and had more adventures, and I'm completely the opposite. Like, prior to cancer, I was just like, hell, I'm going to go to Utah by myself with a backpack and just drop myself off in the middle of nowhere and fend for myself and see what happens. Now, post-cancer, I'm scared shitless of nature. Don't want to be out there. It kind of terrifies me. Like, the thought of hopping in a kayak, even with a bunch of people around me, is so scary because I guess I realized that, you know, life is fragile, things can happen. And I'm kind of curious, am I the only person like this? I mean, does everybody just want to, like, grab life by the balls after cancer? Or are there people who go on your trips who are, like, kind of scared?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's amazing sort of the myriad of emotions that show up at our programs. People who kind of went from where you are now to where you were, and from where you were to where you are. You get it all.
Yeah.
But regardless, hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, sorry.
Come on, Cosmo, man.
Each person sort of needs to heal in their own way a little bit and deal with their cancer and their we say sort of the emotional effects of their cancer in their own way. And so we had one beautiful young woman from San Francisco who came to us and said she was kind of living in this cocoon this past summer. And First Descent, our program, really, through that experience, kind of took her out of that cocoon and kind of taught her that, yeah, she was afraid to live because her fear was that she didn't want to go out and have this amazing life and then have the cancer come back and realize what she was missing. She would rather just have survived her cancer and get on everyday life and sort of kind of be safe and just be kind of constant, not happy, not sad, just there. and she was afraid to live. And so First Attempts kind of ripped her out of that life and put her back in this in her happy life, and she went back and lived it. Well, you know, conversely, we had a young adult who came to us who was really just, in his words, he wasn't a survivor, he was a fighter. He was fighting his cancer. He was attacking it. But he never stopped to deal with sort of the emotional side of that, you know, and really kind of get in touch with himself and pay attention to what his heart was saying. He was so busy just attacking his cancer back like it was attacking him. And so you get people coming to the program with, you know, very different needs, but you find that for whatever reason, through this adventure therapy, they kind of find the answers to those issues. And they really relate to one or many people of, you know, their peers, the support group that they form at the foundation. And so each of them kind of comes there from a different angle, but they all seem to find an answer that they're looking for, which is really cool to watch.
Do people, you know, I would assume this is a bonding moment, maybe even a kumbaya moment. Do people stay in touch after these trips?
That's one of the coolest parts is that everyone refers to it, volunteers and participants alike, as a family. It's the FD family that you form. And obviously, I think more for the participants than the staff, there's this sort of innate understanding. You know, you see it time and time again in young adult cancer that's so disconnected that at diagnosis, the support group is one of the biggest things missing oftentimes. And so to come together and bond through this really kind of this really scary experience of kayaking or now we do mountaineering, you know, to have that bonding moment it's a bond that's created that will last a lifetime if you allow it. And so in the past, we've kept that connectivity. We've allowed it to continue, which has been really helpful and really fun to watch, even oftentimes, sadly, through relapses and through everyday hardships and whatever it is you're going through. It's this really cool family to be there for you. Well, this summer, this fall, we're going to be launching a much stronger online initiative to keep that sort of group cohesiveness, that stickiness in place and really facilitate it and foster it so that hopefully after, you know, 2009, after our summer programs, this will become a much bigger family and much more opportunity outside of just the 1 week we provide.
That's so fantastic.
Yeah,
so,
I'm sorry, Carol. Brad, this is Jack. I just wanted to let you know, and everyone in the chat room is totally in suspense, but I am going to be partaking in the White Salmon, Washington, which is the Pacific Northwest. And I was with one of your employees, Whitney, down in Savannah this week, and she totally talked me into coming, and I have that week available, so I'm going to be heading out to Washington. But I have two questions for you. The first question about this kayaking trip is, what's the thread count for the sheets that you guys offer? and is the room service 24 hours?
Oh, yeah, buddy, total room service.
Okay, count me in.
Chocolates on the pillow, you're fine.
Yeah, that's good.
We pamper you, trust me.
That's good. And I don't want the air conditioning to be...
Can we warm the water up?
I don't want the air conditioning to get me too cold because I might get the sniffles.
Yeah, no, don't worry. We've met your needs already. We even soften the rocks so when
Sign
you hit
me
them,
up.
It doesn't hurt. Yeah, no, we got you covered, bud. Total,
excellent.
We cater, we pamper.
No, yeah, no, I'm really excited. Like, in all seriousness, I'm totally excited about
cool.
it. I wasn't able to do this last year because I didn't have my energy levels back to where they need to be to partake in something like this, and I'm really excited.
Brad would have carried you last year.
Oh, yeah. Again,
he would have carried me on the cover of Cosmo magazine?
Yeah, with that, too. Yeah, trust me. You don't want to go there, bro. These rivers are much safer than the cover of Cosmo.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Jack raises a good point, though. He said his energy level wasn't sort of up to par last year. Where do people need to be at? How do you qualify to go on one of these trips?
It's, you know, we keep this experience very quality-driven. We limit our programs to 15 young adults per week. We have a one-to-one staff ratio on the water.
Wow.
If need be. So we can accommodate even 2-to-1 if necessary. So this summer we've got a couple of hip disarticulations, which normally you would think would be challenging kayaking because you balance with your legs. And so to not even have the ability to have a nub or a prosthetic can be challenging. We've had seizures on the water. We can accommodate. So we really do a one-by-one screening. It's a very personal process. It's free. So when you apply, you go in, you fill out your application, you send it in, and it goes directly to a few of our medical screeners who look over everything on the application, make personal calls, if need be, to you, your family, your doctors, your social workers, really discuss the camp, discuss the camp with you. I mean, again, some people are, you know, it's no problem. But if there's any question with things like energy level, physical ability. That's all discussed at length in person. And so we can accommodate nearly everything. And you know, Jack's interesting because we're pretty much full for the summer. There are a few spots left, but the interesting thing is that the spots are largely reserved for men. We've had a huge interest from women, but we're really out there looking for men at this point. And so, it, you know, any guys listening, it's a great experience. And yeah, it's going to be a ton of chicks there if you're looking. So,
giggity. And Brad, I'm just looking over the list of what you're offering this summer, and I want to let the audience know that these locations just sound phenomenal. We have White Lake, Wisconsin; Glacier National Park, Montana; White Salmon, Washington, where I'll be going; Vail, Colorado; Garden City, Indiana; and Jackson, Wyoming. I mean, that just sounds like an adventure.
Yeah, we again, like I said, one of the cornerstones of the foundation is just really making sure that it's in an outdoor, inspiring setting. So we're not going to take you somewhere ugly. You know, when you're on the water, you'll probably be too scared to notice half the time. But when you're off the water, you're going to be really stoked just to be where you are.
Yeah.
Did you say Indiana?
Oh, sorry. It's actually Idaho.
Oh, it's Idaho. I'm
okay,
sorry.
I was going to say there's somewhere beautiful in Indiana.
Yeah, no, I know, right? I was like, huh. Yeah, I was going to.
My ears must be deceiving me.
I can't read my own typing. I apologize.
No, don't worry about it. No big deal.
It's so great to have you here, Brad. Tell us how people can find out more about your organization.
Absolutely. Again, it's a pleasure to be here. You don't need to thank me. We need to thank you. FirstDescents.org. That's our website. That's got everything from phone numbers to emails to applications to details about the program. Anything you want, it's all right there. And from there, you can kind of get a hold of us for whatever reason. And I want to, you know, I said we're holding spots for men, but we do have spots available. I want to encourage everybody who's interested to apply. You know, there are always opportunities at the foundation to get involved in the outdoors with First Descents.
Great.
That's great. I'm looking forward to it, and I encourage everybody who is able to go to join us out there and get some women out there, because I need someone to rescue me while I'm stuck in the middle of the lake in my kayak.
Dude, we got you totally covered. I'll actually be at that program.
Awesome.
So you and you were going to bond, buddy.
Okay.
You're going to have one of those fake CPR moments.
Oh, no.
Help, I can't breathe.
Going to be broke back kayaks.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
Yeah, buddy. We'll be spooning in the woods. So
oh, my.
For sheets.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I like the way this is going.
Forget the sheets then. Don't need them.
Yeah. No, don't worry about the thread counts. You won't need those where you're going.
Just make sure the medical.
All right. On that note, Brad Ludden, everybody.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, you guys.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
All righty. All right. Oh, my God. There's really no way to end that in any way that isn't completely just... Oh, boy.
Just all right. Leave it alone, my friend.
All right, we're leaving it alone. All right. Well, no conversation about young adult retreats would be complete without talking about Camp Make a Dream. And we have on our show our final guest tonight, Jennifer Benton, is currently the director of marketing and special events for Camp Make a Dream, spending much of her time on fundraising and marketing, as well as coordinating the adult cancer retreats, helping to facilitate the high ropes course, which I did not do because I was scared out of my mind, and working with the board of directors. She is I'm so stoked to have her on the show. I've been to Camp Make a Dream, and it's a magical experience. You make friends for life. It's a life-changing opportunity. So please welcome to the show, Jennifer Benton, everybody. You with us,
hi,
Jen?
Matthew.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Sorry to keep you on hold so long. You can tell we have a little bit too much fun on the show sometimes.
It's been very entertaining.
Well, I can't tell you how happy we are to have you on the show. It's an amazing compliment to our theme, which is, you know, Calgon Take Me Away, Retreats for Young Adults with Cancer. I've been a fan of you guys and FD since probably I found out about you in 1990, probably in 2002 or 2003. The question I always get asked of me when people find out about I2Y was, you know, where were you when I was sick? And there were very few organizations that I could ask that of because I was diagnosed so long ago. But you guys were, in fact, around in 1996, weren't you?
Yeah, we actually, our facility opened up in 1995, and that year we just did one session for kids, which was our primary mission at the time, but very quickly by 1996 we were doing young adult programs, which was pretty new at that time. So we're excited to be in our 15th season now, and we've had over 4,700 participants come through our various programs out here in western Montana.
And unfortunately, one of them is now going to be Jack Buford.
Yes, we're
I'll
looking forward to
Wednesday.
Having Jack with us. Sounds like Jack's got a busy year planned.
Somewhat. Thanks for the 7 a.m. flight Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
Well, we won't keep you up too late Wednesday night.
Carol, you want to chime in here?
Yeah, so what happens on your retreats? And kind of paint a little picture of what you guys have going on out there.
Yeah, you know, we actually own a facility in western Montana, and we do all of our programs right there. It's a gorgeous spot, kind of nestled in the foothills of the Flint Mountains with the Clark Fork River running in front of us. And, Matthew, I know you've been here, so you know how beautiful it is, and Brad spoke about the Rocky Mountains. So it really is a great place to get away. But we've got programs for all different age groups, for cancer patients in various stages of treatment or out of treatment. So the sessions Jack's coming to you and that Matthew joined us for, our Young Adult Survivor Conference, really is an opportunity for young adults 1 year or more out of treatment to come together, you know, talk about their disease, network with other young adults, discuss advocacy, you know, all the things that young adult survivors deal with. You know, we bring them all together and let them share those things with each other and explore what other opportunities exist out there, and hopefully they can go home with some newfound information and share that with other young adults back in their
And sapphires.
Own. Yes, and sapphires, absolutely. Jack's going to get to go to Phillipsburg on Sunday, so you can tell him about that.
And I might add,
a different P-town, yay!
As only someone who's attended these events would know, you will encounter in Phillipsburg, is it Phillipsburg or Fredericksburg?
Phillipsburg. Yes.
The most awesome candy store in the country.
It is the Sweet Palace.
No, yes.
To Phillipsburg is complete without going to the Sweet
yeah.
Palace.
Yeah,
awesome.
It's like Hershey and Nestle threw up in Montana.
As will I.
Is there a little Willy Wonka going on there, too?
It's totally Willy Wonka. It's crazy. It's like this retro 50s candy shop.
They have a chocolate river?
They might as well have, but
yeah,
no.
They make all their own candy. It is fabulous. It is not to be.
Marva's looking at Jack saying, "Stop interrupting Matt." Like, no, that's his job to interrupt me.
That's right. I'm the anarchist, damn it.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I had such a magical time there. I still have. I'm very close with many of the people that I met there. You know, I was there in May of 07, so 2 years ago. I'm still friends with many of the people that I went there with.
Yeah,
and,
that's such a great thing about, you know, like. Brad was saying, once you all come together and get to know each other, that networking opportunity and shows like yours is just great that you can all stay connected with one another. I mean, that's really our mission, to bring you together so that you can maintain those relationships well beyond your experience here with us.
And so how many people, what are the age ranges, you know, young adults is, what does that encompass?
Yeah, I mean, it seems sort of industry-wide that has changed quite a bit, and we've been trying to alter our program ages accordingly. Right now, we have different programs for young adults. 18 to about 30, our Young Adult Conference, and we offer two of those a year, one in the winter, one in the summer, and we've got one of those coming up this summer as well in June. The Young Adult Survivor Conference, which really is a broad spectrum of survivors in their 20s and 30s. So you were talking about, you know, programs for people up to age 40, and they would certainly be welcome at our Young Adult Survivor Conference. And then we also have a program for young adults who are survivors of pediatric brain tumors, and that's called our Heads Up Conference, and that is about 18 to 25-year-olds.
Do you roast s'mores? That's my main
question. Oh, of course.
What
okay.
are the thread counts? No.
You can't have a campfire without s'mores. You bet.
Yeah, that's just the only question that I have. If you make s'mores, I'm there.
And you can get the chocolate in Phillipsburg at the Sweet Palace, bring it back to camp, roast it up with a marshmallow, and you're set.
I have to point something out. This is imperative for anyone that is en route to Phillipsburg, because I just remember we passed a sign, and I still have a picture of it, and I'm sure every group that's on the bus en route to Phillipsburg sees the sign, whips out their cameras. Okay, the sign says, "Used cows."
Giggity.
I know the sign you're talking about.
Yes, it's a used cow depot.
Right there in Drummond, yeah.
So
yeah.
I have the.
Thank
have
you
the
for bringing the surprise for me.
No,
you
now you can
exactly
anticipate
it.
Right.
I have the curmudgeon question. You know, because sometimes I'm not always a group player. I mean, I love group activities, but only to a certain extent. And sometimes I'm like, I don't want to be alone, man. You know, enough singing around the campfire, holding hands, and having the lovely group experience. Is there time for people to, like, you know, go off on their own and chill out a little bit there?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the great things about our programs is that everything we offer is completely optional. You know, we encourage people to take advantage of as much as they can while they're with us, because every day is filled with all sorts of great workshops and speakers and small group discussions and then, you know, recreational things and entertainment and great meals and all that. But you always have the option of going off on your own, spending quiet time, whether it's taking a walk, you know, under the big open big sky country, or hanging out in your cabin, sitting in the hot tub, you know, chatting with one friend out on the bench. You know, whatever you want to do, you are encouraged to do when you're here.
Jen, if I can make one suggestion, you're going to need a bigger cane to drag Jack off the stage during the talent competition.
Yeah, like Sandman Sam from the Apollo.
Yes.
Well, we'll make sure.
Wait,
laugh.
Did you say talent competition?
Yes, is a talent.
I can't participate then.
Why, because you have no talent?
Exactly.
No, that's the whole point.
I can sleep on stage. That's what I'll do.
Okay, Jack's going to be professional.
That's what I'm good at.
Yeah.
I might need it when I get out
there. I ruined
you
it.
You ruined the candy shop? And I don't have to come now. And the
no.
cow side.
Exactly.
Maybe
it's
my
all
talent,
about the candy.
Maybe my talent could be using cows.
Right.
What are some of the workshops that you do and some of the group activities that you have?
You know, a lot of that is based on the group that's coming with us and joining us. And certainly we talk about advocacy and insurance and dealing with your healthcare team. And we address different issues based on whether the group is mostly in treatment or mostly out of treatment, relationship issues, you know, job interviews, all the things that you would have to think about when you're a young adult who's healthy. We address those things, and then, of course, all the things that go along with that cancer diagnosis and survivorship as well. So it really is a broad spectrum. If you've gone through it, we've probably addressed it or hope to address it while you're at one of our programs.
S'mores, and then how to fill the gap on your resume. Basically.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent. And if people want to find out about your programs, do you have space available still for your summer programs, and where do they go to learn more about that?
We do. We have space in all of our programs still, even our Young Adult Survivor Conference starting on Wednesday, even though it's short notice. We do have spots available.
Jack, where will be my carry-on?
Bring a friend. campdream.org, and there's lots of great information, applications, our phone number. Yeah, a lot of great stuff there. Photo gallery of our facility, so you can see what a pretty spot we've got.
And I'll attest, I'm not just the hair club president, I'm also a client. I've been there. I've done that.
Matt, why don't you ruin another surprise for me? Is there anything else that I'm going to be doing this week?
The food's actually really, really good, and Stu, if he doesn't get into his pig outfit, will wreck the place.
Well, I'm going to show up with my Mets T-shirt so I can get on Stu's good side right away.
Okay, good.
Oh,
good.
Yeah, you're in already.
Yes, ma'am.
Right.
Yeah. You'll be his favorite.
I already am.
Well, Jen, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Being patient with us, running a little late, but it's so important to do a show about retreats every so often on the Stupid Cancer Show.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity.
And, yeah, like I said, I mean, count me in if you ever need me from Montana, but Jack will do a much better job entertaining people because he's just Jack.
But the downside to me going to Camp Make a Dream is I won't be available for next Monday's radio show.
Yeah, I think we'll be able to live with that.
So everyone in the chat room has to talk about somebody else.
We're going to have no chat room next week because Jack's not going to be here.
Be no one to make fun of.
That's true. So, Jen, thank you so much. Good luck with everything this season, and we'll talk real soon.
Thank you much, Jack.
Thanks a lot.
Wednesday.
I'll see you soon. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
All right.
Take care.
Jennifer Benton from Camp Make a Dream. Another good show, guys.
Yes, it was. It was very informative. It makes me want to take a trip.
It makes me want to eat s'mores. I just can't get the s'mores out of my mind now.
Well, you know,
I'm going to sleep outside tonight.
Oh. Right. Enjoy the smog.
Yeah.
You know, Carol, going back to what you said, that there is a point, you know, when you're incubated with the same group of people, it becomes very Est-like from the 70s, and you kind of want to flip out.
Yep.
But there are opportunities, you know, like the poop-out bus, emotionally, for you to, like, just go back to your bunk or to just, you know, be by yourself. It's a huge acreage there. You can go wherever you want, and it's all safe and private. So there are many places to escape when you're hanging out with Jack too much.
Well, I think this conversation is stimulating the need for a blog post. I need to write about this experience of after I got finished with treatment, I went on this retreat on Orcas Island up in Washington State, and I can't even do it justice at the moment. It was freaky and cool, and at some point I kind of ran away.
Wow, okay.
I like freaky and cool.
Yeah, it was amazing, and I was surrounded by like 50 nurses who were all above the age of 60. It was, I'm not sure they knew what I was getting into.
Oh my
God. I can't say it was an entirely bad experience, but it was outrageous.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I had to put on those running shoes and just go as fast as I could.
Oh God. Well, in any case, Carol, it's you and I next week flying solo, and I think we're going to do a fine job without Jack, although...
I wish you a lot of luck, my friend.
Yeah, we'll do our... the chat room seems to not care that Jack's not going to be here.
They definitely don't care. Hicks cares.
All right, well, guys, have a wonderful week, and Carol, I'll talk to you next week. Jack will talk to you in 2 weeks.
Thanks a lot. Good luck in L.A.
Yeah, good luck in L.A. Wait, that's me, right?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Like, am I going to L.A.? What did
yeah, sorry. Surprised you by that, Carol.
Yeah.
All right. Well, take care, guys. It's time for our closing sequence.
Prepare to activate.
I hear there's rumors on the internets.
Have you ever seen a grown man naked?
And so, to all of you, a fond farewell.
Hooray, I'm helping.
You are a meathead.
Oh, Magoo, you've done it again.
That was so terrible, I think you gave me cancer.
All right, folks, that's our show. I hope you had as much fun as we did poking a stick at stupid cancer. I'd like to thank our guests.
Exciting.
Charlie Lustman, Bob Gray, Brad.
Come aboard.
Cosmo.
I was thinking like what a Brad Cosmopolitan magazine. Jennifer Benton. Our in-studio guest, Stacey Owens, all the way from Los Angeles. Lisa Wolf, all the way from here. Annabelle, all the way from here. And Jack's actual genetic sister, Margaret Buffard. Say goodnight, Margaret.
Good night, everyone.
No, you're supposed to say goodnight, Margaret. Goodnight, Margaret.
Goodnight, Margaret.
There you go.
I'm too far,
Jack. Oh, she's totally related to you, Jack. We just proved that. Okay. Next week, Cancerpalooza, Los Angeles, with artists Denise Vasquez, Brandon Schott, Michael Tiernan. It's going to be a hell of a show. Same bad time, same bad channel. Remember, if you missed any of our previous shows, just listen to the archives at stupidcancershow.com or subscribe to our podcast at iTunes. iToY.com. Remember, folks, if it's not stupid, it's not cancer. We'll see you all back here next week, live from the chemo deck. Jack Buffard, Carol Rosenthal, Captain Subing, and I wish you all a phenomenal week. Go to bed, Leah. Fogger out.